Good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church on this beautiful day, made more beautiful by the opportunity to gather together in friendship and in worship. Welcome to all of you. A special welcome to those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time or for the first time in a while. We hope that you will find yourself at home among us. We invite all of you, whether you're visitors or frequent attenders or members, to take some time this morning to fill out your connection card, which is found in your bulletin, and you will have additional opportunity later in the service to fill out the other side and then to put that in the offering plate. You can read announcements related to congregational life in your bulletin insert at your leisure. Now it is time to let go of distractions, burdens, anxieties. The God of love is among us, calling us only to love and to more love and to then more love. So may we be open.
If you are able, please stand. Oh, Heavenly Father, please feel welcome to be here for this church service. Help us to love everybody as Jesus teaches us to. Amen.
Now we hear words from the book of Deuteronomy. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak all these words to the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and I am holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edge of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyards bare, or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the immigrant. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, and you shall not lie to one another. I am the Lord. You shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm going to invite your participation in the prayers of the people this morning by inviting you every time I say, "Let us pray to the Lord," to respond with, "Lord, have mercy." So with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. mercy. For the peace from above, for the loving kindness of God, and for the salvation of all souls, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the world, for the welfare of the church in all places, and for the unity of all peoples, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the president, for the leaders of all nations, and for all in authority, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this city, for every city and community, and for those who live in them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this good earth, which God has given us, and for the wisdom and the will to conserve it, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the aged and infirm, for the widowed and the orphaned, for the sick and the suffering, and for all who care for them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the poor and the oppressed, for the unemployed and the destitute, for the dying, for prisoners and captives, and for all who remember and care for them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. O Lord, hear also our prayers for the family and friends of Ellie Grapentine, for Jenny McKeachy, for John Moyer, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Wally Jordan, Saw Charlie, Logan Sweet, for Sadie, for Dottie Kassler, for the family of Stanley Eckstein, for Helen Brown, Kim and Jason Weaver, Tim and Ripple Lee, for David, for Valerie Nebbia, Tim and Felicia McDonald, Bob and Barb, Thurza Katie, Jim Terrace, Sandra Nichols, D.G. Wendt, for Sally Scott, for the Jones family, and for John Wallace. Also, O Lord, hear our private prayers, which we offer to you now in silence. O God, our Mother and our Father, we praise you for the grace and the wonder of your all-embracing love. Deliver us from fear and shame. Give us the humility and grace to live your compassion towards all. Make us sacraments of your healing love and bearers of the promise of Jesus, who taught us how to live and how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You have heard that it was said, You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Not even the tax collectors do the same. And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Not even the Gentiles do the same. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. I will now invite the children to come up for tithing as children.
Andrew just read another part of the scripture where Jesus is teaching us all about love. And this one is a kind of hard lesson, isn't it, Andrew? You studied it more than the rest of us. It's hard. It's hard to do some of those things that Jesus said we should do. Now, Miss Zan and I have some signs. We want you to choose which one is easier, okay? So, Scotty and Alex, I need you to come closer. So you point to either Miss Zan's statement or to mine. Which one is easier, okay? Is it easier to love someone who loves you,
or to love someone you don't know?
You got it. Is it easier to sit with someone who's new at school, maybe, and who doesn't know a lot of English yet?
Or to sit with somebody you do know?
Is it easier, here we go, to play with your best friend,
or to invite someone new over to your house to play?
That's nice. Is it easier to say hi to somebody you know here at church,
or to not say anything?
Okay, you're thinking. I really like the way you're thinking. And Lizzie says both. Is it easier to love someone who has been mean to you,
or to love someone who has been nice to you?
Not a whole lot of quibbling on that one. Is it easier to love someone who is just like you,
or someone who's a little bit different or very different than you?
Good. I like the way you were thinking. Some of these are hard. You know that they're hard for adults too. Sometimes it's hard for adults to sit next to somebody they don't know. Andrew, I'm going to get you later when we get back to the classroom, okay? Sometimes it's hard for adults to get along with people they disagree with or who they think of being mean. Sometimes it's hard for adults to connect with somebody who is very different. So sometimes Jesus gives us lessons that are hard. Following Jesus isn't always easy. Loving isn't always easy. That's why your parents, your grandparents, your teachers, your pastors, your church family says, keep on practicing. And church is one of those places where it's safe for kids to practice. It's safe here to say hi to someone you don't know, to sit next to somebody who might be new to this church, to invite somebody over to your house for dinner or for playing, This is a safe place to practice loving. Let's say our prayer. Thank you, God, for Jesus, who teaches us how to be loving even when it's hard. Amen.
Pray together, please. Living God, we, your people gathered here, are in serious need of hearing your word. Your world also needs us to hear it. So may we hear it. And having heard it, may we choose it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I have a confession to make. I do not love humankind. I'm sorry, but that's true. I certainly don't hate it. Don't hate it. Don't hate it. I don't. I just can't say I love it. And I don't think you love it either. Because the truth is, it is impossible to love humankind. Or so it is if we take the word love seriously. Can you love 7.5 billion people? You do if love means having concerns and hopes for the common good across the world and feeling strongly about that, maybe having political commitments toward it. But frankly, that is fairly easy for most of us, and it's also abstract and may even help some of us feel better about ourselves. It's the right commitment. It's the right set of concerns. But maybe we should use a word other than love for our commitment to justice and to peace and for thriving for all. The Bible uses a different word When Scripture speaks of human connection, love is never distant or generalized or abstract. Love is personal, relational, and requires very specific personal behaviors and actions. Nothing is vague or dreamy. It's done in the nitty-gritty of actual earthy circumstances with real people, people we didn't necessarily choose, who are there. And we are mandated to very particular practices of mind, of speech, of attitudes toward these people. This and only this is love in scriptural terms. And it turns out it's not easy. You know the famous line from the comic strip Peanuts. Lucy has called herself a doctor of psychiatry. And she tells her brother Linus, "You can never be a doctor. You don't love humanity." Linus says, "I love humanity. It's people I can't stand." It's exactly our problem. But the Spirit says, let's move the blur of humanity aside for just a bit and see the particular faces around us and what love for them must do in particular. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, goes the famous command from Leviticus 19. Maybe one reason it's so famous is that while it lifts up this great essential rule for living, it gives no specifics whatsoever. I can sign up to a good word that has no specifics in it. What we fail to notice is that those words are given as a summation of a long list of singular personal behaviors that define what love your neighbor actually is. The list begins like this. It sets you down into a field. Your field. Where grain has grown that is time to harvest. And the command is, you can't have it all. At all the edges of this field, don't harvest. And when you're cutting what you're cutting, and some of it falls to the ground, as it always will, you leave it there and walk away. Or if it's a vineyard you've got, and time for harvest, don't strip the vineyard bare and all the grapes that fall. Leave them. You leave all this for the poor and the immigrant. Isn't that a lovely practice? Please notice, there is no allowance for looking back at those folks picking up your grain and your grapes and saying of them, but these people don't deserve that. This system is perpetuating their dependence. This is creating a culture of laziness. None of that here. Just the command you do it. For these people who are here. This doesn't even allow you to think of yourself as generous. The land is God's, not yours, and this command means that the poor and these immigrants have a right to be present and to be sustained. If you were in their shoes, that's what you'd want. This is loving your neighbor as yourself. From there, the list goes on. Don't hold the wages of your workers overnight. Pay them immediately. Give the worker no cause for anxiety and make sure your workers have what they need for that night. You'd want the same if it were you. This is loving your neighbor as yourself. And on it goes, don't lie or steal. Don't curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind. That is, do not be disrespectful of the disabled and don't make it harder for them. Do not judge anybody falsely. Do not go around slandering anybody, and do not have any hatred in your heart. Do confront each other when needed, but never, ever bear a grudge. There's plenty more to add to that, but I think that's enough. It is the list of particulars that define for this law the meaning of love your neighbor as yourself. Sorry about that. Let's be clear about this meaning of the last two words, love your neighbor as yourself. More times than I can remember, I've heard somebody say, it means I can't love my neighbor if I don't love myself. I can see some truth in that. How can I accept others unconditionally if I can't accept myself as I am? How do I care for other people if I give no care for myself and keep good boundaries, etc.? Okay. Just so long as we remember that the command to love our neighbors as ourselves means nothing at all like that. To love oneself meant to see to, as best you could, your own creaturely needs and social needs. Enough income to live on, enough food to eat, shelter, safety, people to care for you if you got sick or infirm, and in the community, some dignity, some sense of belonging, some fundamental respect. That's it. To love your neighbor as yourself, to love yourself meant to rightly want these things, to see to it that you have them, and if you lose them, to do what you can to get them back. To love your neighbor as yourself was to see to it that they had these things also, and if they didn't, to do all in your power and in our power together to make it so. Including, as you surely noticed, the immigrant. The word's right. Can you believe the word is right there? Your translation of the text may say alien, or resident alien, or stranger. We still use the word alien, but I always see strange creatures from outer space. And so I've translated it into what it actually meant in that context. It meant immigrant. Some of them passing through, but most of them residing now. Some of them refugees. To hammer the point home, not only leave the immigrant some of what you're not going to harvest because I told you not to. The text goes on a few verses later to say, you shall not oppress the immigrant. The immigrant who resides with you shall be to you as the citizens among you. You shall love the immigrant as yourself. Verse 34. Excuse me. Whether it's an immigrant or a police officer, or a politician, or a colleague, or a family down the street, or a homeless person at our door, all of them, every last one of them, including people of a social class not quite our own, with values and beliefs not quite our own, whom we do not fully understand. For all of them, we are mandated to love as neighbors like ourselves. And there's a new urgency for that. The truth is, it is the lack of that which brought us into the hot mess we are in. Something like that hot mess has been coming our way for a long, long time. For all the wonderful good that lives in a society like ours, the truth is that also at the core of a system like ours is a very, very high value on self-interest, which works fine when held in a context, the balancing, sharing context of community. But that is not so here. Self-interest. It is how the system works economically, politically, tribally, and too often personally. It is across the spectrum. We live too much in silos, seeing to our own needs and preoccupations, not knowing each other very well, keeping especially separate from those who seem different from us, failing even to imagine what people near to us might need from us, and collectively failing horribly to reach out to those who are left out and make solid provision and solid strategies for people who need neighborly help from all of us. So, of course, it falls apart. People not even able to talk to each other, not able even to comprehend each other, all this fury and mockery and fear and despising of each other, and leading now to what? This is the judgment on us, for we as a people have not lived as neighbors to each other. And as Wendell Berry has said, there was a time when the commandment to love each other was understood as religious law. But at this point, such evidence has been accumulated as to suggest that it is actually an absolute law. Love one another or die individually and as a species. So now we arrive at this question that it has seemed to me the Spirit keeps asking of us again and again these recent days. Is this not our time? We were always meant to be an alternative community of Christ's kind of love in a world that has lost its way. We were always to live and die by the shining law of loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, for so Christ has loved us all. We see this vocation now more sharply than we've ever seen it before. Maybe some of us are seeing it as if for the very first time. And while many people all around us are now making good new choices for neighborly love, we do it understanding that this is our mandate as people of faith who belong to Christ and to Christ's revolutionary way. Because this is his way of love. It will never be in the abstract. It will be the word of God's love made flesh in our particular flesh, in our money and our other resources freely shared, for as it turned out, it never belonged to us anyway. And it will take the flesh of our fairness with people and our reproving of people when need be, but never ever telling lies, never ever bearing grudges, and never ever having hatred in our hearts. You want to try all that by yourself? It is a good, good thing that you aren't meant to, or you are meant. And we were always meant to live this life together, to help it happen in and through each other together, to be neighbors for and toward and with each other. From here to home, to more family and friends and acquaintances and perfect strangers, real people, real, all around us, all of them neighbors, whom we love as ourselves. Remember how I said at the beginning that none of us can love humankind. I stand by it. But I also stand by this. That God does. That God knows every single face of us 7.5 billion, including every face in this room, and every face of anyone that any of us will ever set eyes on as long as we live. And every single face that none of us will ever see. The thing is, God sees us not only in that singular particularity, but somehow all of us as connected as one. All of us neighbors to each other. Starting from right here. Let's live as if that were true. You may have noticed in your worship bulletin today a card. We call it a connection card. On one side of it, there is a place to indicate next steps you may wish to take concerning your own faith and discipleship. Offering plates are about to be passed, and we place those cards there. More importantly, in the moment of offering in a service of worship, we bring not only of our material goods, but crucially, of our intention, of our rededicated lives to the service of Christ. Let's do so now as the best of our worship.
Thank you.
God, into your vast and holy hands, the world has its life. May we know ourselves perfectly held in those hands together. And may we live and love to your praise forever. Amen. Let such words now be enacted among us here. May the peace of Christ be with you.